Anyway, shifting to the next subject, we'll be chatting with our regular conversation with Brian Sommer. Brian Sommer's senior aviation business editor at skiff.com, talking a little bit about some United news that's coming up, some good deals that are coming up in October. And Brian joins us by phone now. Brian, thanks for joining us and welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, good to be back.
It's good to have you on. And there's plenty of stuff going on in the airline industry right now. And let's kick things off with a local story with United. They're shifting things around a little bit with their fleet. I imagine this is in response a little bit to the Boeing MAX situation, but also something as far as, you know, moving their revenues and their profits ahead. They're shifting down or shifting up to larger jet size. Is that right?
Absolutely, Bennett. This is kind of interesting. United Airlines came out and said this week on its earnings call that it wants to fly much larger jets into the 2020s. And there's a very simple reason for it. When airlines use bigger airplanes, their overall costs, of course, go up, but the cost to fly each seat goes down. So the last regime at United, which left in about 2015, liked smaller airplanes for different reasons. And the new regime says that that put United at a disadvantage compared to other U.S. airlines.
So with that being the case, I think it comes back to people asking the question, who will see these larger jets as they begin to make this this rollout?
Well, larger jets in the markets where United feels like it can fill them. So Chicago would be a good bet for them, New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles. One reason United is very bullish on larger airplanes is because it has hubs in most of the largest U.S. markets.
Right.
So, you know, the third largest city like Chicago, number one like New York, you can pretty much put any size airplane going, you know, from Chicago to Denver and you can fill it. There are some other U.S. airlines that don't have that benefit. You know, Delta Airlines runs a very good airline, but it has hubs in Detroit and Minneapolis. They're just not as robust cities as, say, Chicago, New York, and San Francisco. So you'll see these larger airplanes in United's biggest hubs.
Gotcha. So we'll be seeing that roll out over the next 6 years. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. And this will reduce United's costs actually quite a bit on a per-seat basis. So I do want to try to maybe oversimplify it for our listeners and just explain how this works, right? So one airplane, right, to operate one airplane might cost United $100,000 to operate. Airplane might have 100 seats, so its cost would be about $1,000. Per passenger on that airplane. If you doubled the size of the airplane, if you used a 200-seat airplane, your costs, of course, would go up because you're going to burn a lot more fuel.
Sure.
But on a per-seat basis, you're not going to spend double the amount of money in fuel. Maybe you'll spend 1.5 times or 1.7 times the amount of fuel. And so United will actually save money per seat. And I suppose that we could see a world 7 or 8 years hence where, because United is paying less money to operate each seat, fares could come down. But who knows?
Right. And but one of the fascinating things that that you wrote about in here is that United is, you said in the very first line of the article, no U.S. airline is on a better financial trajectory than United Airlines. And the fact that they're doing this now is the fact that they're going to be saving more money and more money is going to be coming to their bottom line. I think that's the surprising part that, you know, people are maybe underestimating about United, or they've just kind of snuck along and had that in their back pocket.
Yes. Well, Bennett, we should caution our listeners, and one of the reasons that United is on such a great trajectory is because they were in such bad shape, you know, 4 years ago under the previous regime. It's almost surprising, you know, what shape United was in several years ago. I think passengers know it from the passenger experience, but just financially, you know, they were making money, but they were doing some, frankly, boneheaded things that the industry had moved past, and they fixed a lot of those, and United is in much better shape right now, and the stock is on an absolute roll.
Right, exactly. And I think people would agree if they bought a few years ago and they look at their stocks now. But that being the case, and let's kind of take a an objective perspective on this, you know, looking at Oscar Muniz's role within the company from the 4 years since he took over, what kind of grade would you give for him since being the new CEO?
Oh, this is a very complicated one. You know, Oscar came in without a great background in the airline industry. He is very good at things like marketing and employee relations. Customers like him, employees like him. He is the face of the company. He's out there meeting people all the time. But Bennett, I mean, you talk to people that work inside the airline industry, the people that are sending me DMs on Instagram or, you know, text messages, and it is United Airlines president Scott Kirby who is running this airline on a day-to-day basis. Scott Kirby came from American. He was president there. He was president at U.S. Airways before then. The man knows how to run an airline. He's the one going out there and saying, our airplanes are too small. We have to lower our cost per seat. We have to change this. We have to fly to the right places at the right time. And insiders give him a whole lot of credit for changing the trajectory of that airline's finances.
Gotcha, gotcha. So definitely can't be put on one perspective, one person's shoulders. It's more of a team effort, and maybe Oscar.
It is a team effort over at United.
Gotcha, gotcha. Well, great. Well, moving on a little bit over to the other side of things, over at Delta Airlines, you wrote about a possible new subscription for passengers that may or may not include paying for extra overbin head access. Talk to us a little bit about that.
This is absolutely fascinating to me. Delta came out with a new subscription service this week where people can pay $59 to have Group 1 boarding for the entire year. Now, you read this and you think to yourself, my goodness, that is an amazing deal. Only $59 and you get Group 1 boarding. But people are pretty smart. Group 1 boarding on every airline, including Delta, is not really Group 1 boarding. It's like the sixth group to board.
Sure.
There are like five or six pre-boarding groups, and then Delta goes with one, two, and three, and then their basic economy fare. So you're going to be paying $59 for the entire year to board a little bit early. Mm-hmm. Now, I fly all the time. I believe that there's almost no purpose to board early. You're going to be on this metal tube for hours and hours.
Right.
Why do you have to get on the airplane 45 minutes early? People know this. There's really only one reason to get on the plane early, and it's to stow your bag in the overhead bin. So I did write that this deal for $59, while a good deal, is kind of a backwards way of saying, do you have overhead bin anxiety? Why don't you pay us $59 and then, you know, you'll have a better chance of stowing your bag. Now, I should mention that Delta did throw something else in here. I think that they're also offering 8 free drink vouchers, but that's the whole package. It's early boarding and free drinks. Some people like free drinks. Some people don't. I'm going to go ahead and argue that this is a move about bin space and bin anxiety, which is a real thing.
Right. I mean, I can say from a personal perspective and from a consumer perspective, I get to the airport at least 2 hours early before any flight. Doesn't matter if it's a local or international. I have that airline anxiety, and I know a $59 number is a pretty attractive price as far as anything that comes to an airline when it comes to buying something as an extra. And if I know that I'm going to get an extra space or a little bit of peace of mind when it comes to this, along with 8 free drink vouchers, I think this might be a successful trend for Delta. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It could be. I still think that it's remarkable that we live in a world where people are going to pay $59 even for the year for priority boarding that is really like group 6 or 7, depending on how you count it. It's amazing.
Right. Well, you mentioned also in the article that previously there have been a handful of subscription models throughout the industry, but they haven't been historically successful. Could this be the turning of the tide, something that across all the industries, subscriptions are something that many businesses are considering? Is this something that may be happening a lot more often in the airline space?
Yeah, subscriptions are very interesting, as you say, across all industries. All these companies love the recurring revenue, right? It just exists every month or every year, and you don't have to do that much to get it. I do think that we'll see a little bit more subscription-based products in the airline industry. It'll be interesting to see what they are. I mentioned in the story that probably the longest-running successful one is United's Economy Plus seating. So that's that extra legroom seat.
Right.
I get it for free as a frequent traveler. But if I wasn't a frequent traveler, I could buy it for the year for $599. You know, airlines have the same problem that a lot of businesses have in this sort of situation. You know, people like to game the airlines. And, you know, a lot of folks may use their subscription two or three or five times a year. But there are always going to be folks that use it much, much more and try to game the airlines. It's fun for frequent flyers to do. And that's why I don't think we're going to see anything too rich coming out of airlines. I mean, just as a funny aside, we've seen a few airlines over the years, you know, if they need cash, they'll do like an all-you-can-fly package.
Right.
And they always say, like, you know, there are a few customers that basically try to put us out of business. They get on these airplanes every day. We don't understand it. So airlines are an interesting business in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there will always be that divide of customers that will do the bare bones offering of whatever they can get. They can get at the cheapest possible price. And then all those others that will pay an arm and a leg just to get where they need to be in any comfortable way possible. So, and wrapping things up here, there was an interesting piece, a study by Hopper about how this October is the cheapest airfare drop since we've seen industry wide for tickets and buying flights since 2013. What is causing all of this drop within airline tickets, and why is this continually going down?
Yeah, it's a good time to fly, especially if you're a domestic traveler. I took a look at the study that you referenced, and it looks like tickets to domestic destinations right now are costing an average of $211, which is very cheap. And then we're seeing some outrageous international deals. I just looked a bit ago. I saw Chicago to Dublin for $278. That's round trip, and it's on Scandinavian Airlines, which is kind of a full service, very nice airline that I would rush to book. Of course, you're going from cold weather to cold weather. You know, we're seeing some interesting dynamics here because you have airlines talking on earnings calls about how business has never been better. Demand is off the charts. They're making lots of money. But because demand is off the charts, one thing that a lot of airlines have been doing is they've been growing and they've been adding seats, and they've really been catering to business travelers. So these are the people that fly in first class, they business class, they even fly in economy plus. They basically fly in the front half of the airplane. These customers are very lucrative for American, United, and Delta, and they can make a route like Chicago to London profitable no matter what happens in the back of the airplane. But you have a lot of airlines now that are adding seats, they're adding flights, they're catering to business travelers, and yet they still probably have 30 to 40% of seats, we would say, on the back of the airplane, literally the last few rows, that, you know, they're a lot harder to sell because leisure travel peaks certain times of the year, the summer, around the holidays. And in the wrong weeks of the year, and this is kind of like October when the kids are back at school and January after the holidays, there isn't a lot of leisure travel. People just don't go on vacation in that time period. And so if you want to fill your airplanes, you basically drop the price to do it. You can get away with dropping the price because, you know, business travel is a little less lumpy. Those people are still flying. And, you know, leisure travelers really win here. Now, you're not going to find great deals if you want to travel around Thanksgiving or Christmas. You have never been able to. But if you're looking for low-demand periods, you're going to score a great deal.
Yeah, we'll keep our eyes peeled for that. And as a back-of-the-plane flyer, I know I appreciate the front-of-the-plane flyers paying for all those price drops. And one of the there was a quote found recently. The founder of Scott's Cheap Flights, he said that this is the golden age of cheap flights. Would you agree with that?
I would absolutely agree with that. I just helped some friends book their honeymoon. They're going to Southeast Asia. I think they're going to Singapore. They paid like $500 round trip. But I said, you know, you're going to be telling your grandchildren someday that you went to Singapore from Los Angeles for $500 round trip, and they are never going to believe you. This is absolutely the golden age of travel. You're not going to score a deal anytime because it's a function of supply and demand. But if you are out there looking for a deal, you are going to find one. And it is remarkable the things that people are finding right now.
Yeah, well, perfect. Well, Brian, thank you so much for joining us again this week and today, and we'll keep our eyes peeled for those good deals out there.
Great. Appreciate the time. Thank you.